On this occasion of my birthday, John Somerville said I had special privileges. Because apparently the Marines give people special privileges on their birthday, like working twice as hard or something. But I've asked someone to speak in my place tonight and to bring us the greatness of God's Word. This one whom I have asked is like many of you, like all of you here, many people across the world, very near and dear to my heart, but very especially so because of the mighty deliverance that God has wrought in his heart and the way he has stood faithful on the Word. The Word of God says that all men are dead in trespasses and sins without God and without hope. So that puts us all in the same category before we're born again. If you're dead, you're dead. Doesn't make any difference whether you smoked pot or murdered Jehoshaphat. You're still dead. And therefore, it's not a question of the past. It is a question of the eternal now, the present. This fella went back to Kansas and single-handed opened the work in Kansas. And there I saw for the first time a fruition of my ministry that I'd believed and prayed for if somebody would just believe God's Word and start out. He was totally unqualified from a sense knowledge point of view. As far as the academic background and everything else, he didn't have it. And yet, he had something in his heart that you can't buy with all the academic background in the world. He didn't know a great deal, but what he knew, he believed. And what he believed, he was able to practice. And I saw a man put into practice the Twig ministry. Start on just a simple basis and develop that twig and make it live. And the great work, not only in the state of Kansas today, but in many other places around our country, is beginning to move with a greater efficacy because today he is our one man who is responsible for teaching across the country, the witnessing and under-shepherding and making this live down at a twig level. It is not that I am vacating this particular pulpit or teaching platform tonight and feel like I should, but because I felt in my heart that God wanted me to present this man on this night, the last Sunday night of this old year, thinking forth in the great expectation of the outreach in the new year on witnessing and under-shepherding and the twigs working with a real efficacy around the nations of the world, and therefore I am truly honored and proud and thankful to God tonight for how he saved a soul and made possible this man's life to the ministry of the way. Donnie Fugit.
Be seated. Blessings and greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Once again, as we're gathered here tonight, this Sunday. It's a real honor and privilege, of course, for me to be here and to be able to share the word with you on the field that I have been working and believing for so wonderfully. God has given us, this is going to be fantastic, amazing, and very loving night. And to begin that, I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. God has given to us today a ministry. And he's given us this ministry to carry out. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please, and in verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is the ministry that I am referring to, the ministry of reconciliation. Look at verse 19. To know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. This is the ministry that I am referring to and that God has given us. This ministry is fantastic. One, because it's the ministry of his word. It's amazing. The ministry is amazing because of what the word really is. And three, it's very loving because God and the Lord Jesus Christ are at the center. Also, I'd like you to look at that verse again, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Who reconciled us to himself? God by who? And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Who has given to us the ministry of reconciliation? God. It is fantastic that he has done this. One, because of what the word really is, and two, because of the abilities that he's given us to carry it out. That's why it's fantastic. It's amazing because of the simplicity in which he's given us to carry it out. And three, it's very loving because of what God can do for people through the Lord Jesus Christ and by the accuracy of his word. So, that's how it come. It's going to be a fantastic, amazing, and very loving night. To begin, I think I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 1, please. Psalms 138. I told you that the ministry is fantastic because it's the ministry of his word. Psalms 138. This is why it is so fantastic. One of the reasons. Verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple. Psalms 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou, God, hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Of all of God's works, of everything that he's done, of all of his works, the greatest is his word. That's why it's so fantastic that we have the ministry of his word, because he's magnified his word above all of his name. And it is also amazing, turn to Genesis chapter 1, that he has done this. The ministry is amazing. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's pretty good, isn't it? When you think about it, first of all, we have the ministry, right? And the ministry is his word. And his word he magnified above all of his name. Now then, if God created the heavens and the earth, do you think that he knows what's going on, the way things run? Also says that he made, formed, and created man. He made the soul in us, he formed the body, and he created spirit in us. If he made my soul, and if he formed my body, and if he created the spirit in me, then he must know the way that it's done, right? He must know something about it. If he created the heavens and the earth, then he must know something about it. That is why this ministry of his word is so amazing. Because in his word, he declares everything that we need to know about life. Turn to 2 Peter. And he ought to know if he created the heavens and the earth. Think so? 2 Peter, chapter 1, in 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that or who hath called us to glory and virtue. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things means what? All things. Through what? The knowledge of him. Where do you get the knowledge of him? Then, in his word, must have revealed in it all things that pertain to life and godliness, right? If he's given it to us through the knowledge of it, then it must be in here. Ephesians, please. Chapter 6. I was going to say chapter 12, but that would be a double Ephesians. Chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All right. He says that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, right? Then everything that we need to know is revealed in his word, right? And it says in Ephesians 6:12 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers, not just the darkness, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness from on high. Therefore, what we need to know about what this verse is talking about must be revealed in his word, right? And if we wrestle against these, then, and if we don't know anything about these principalities and powers, how can we wrestle against them? Neither if we don't know how to wrestle. You understand? His word must then tell us not only how to wrestle, but it must tell us about these principalities and powers. That's why it's amazing the ministry that we have. What is revealed in the word? All I know is what the word says. I was thinking earlier as I was sitting in the back room about the teaching, and I want to really express on how big his word really is. And I thought, well, I can't really do that. See? Because I just know what I know. But I know this verse says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and that he will reveal all things that we need to know in his word. Therefore, this must be in his word. 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 5. I also told you that it's very loving, the ministry that we have. Because God and his son, Jesus Christ, are at the center of the whole shooting bang. That's what I have written down. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for who? Christ. If we're his ambassadors, then who are we representing? Christ. Therefore, that's why he is at the center. God and his son, Jesus Christ, is at the center. That's what makes it loving. That's where the love is. We'll go on. As though God did beseech you by us. Who did the beseeching? God. By who? We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Then comes that tremendous verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. You talk about love? Here it is in this verse. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He knew no sin. and he made him to be sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Turn to chapter 4, please. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. First of all, the first thing I want to recognize in this verse is the word for. Look at the first word in the verse. It's the word for. That means that it is saying something to flow along with what was just said. So look at verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach. Who preaches? We. Not just me. Not just Dr. Wherewell or Reverend Townsend or Reverend Cummins or your twig leader or your branch leader. For we preach. Not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. They are who we live for and move for and look at. Verse 22. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Guess there's a lot of verse 22s in here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And hath put, God hath put, all things under his, Jesus Christ, feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Who is the head? Jesus Christ is the head over all things to the church. But before that, all things were put under his feet, right? Who put him there? See it? Now, that's why the ministry is very loving that we have. That's why we can be very loving, because he is the head of the body. And God put him there. We have a relationship with God because of what was done in Christ Jesus and because of what Jesus Christ did. And we can help people with this ministry because of what was done there. Do you understand? Because of that God did raise Jesus Christ from the dead. Because of that reality and because of the truth of what he wrought in Christ is the only way and the only reason we could ever help anybody. Now, I said that it's fantastic that he has given it to us. The reason, my thinking was, the reason that it's fantastic that he's given it to us because of what his word really is and the abilities that he's given us to carry it out. That's why it's fantastic that he's given it to us. It's the greatest thing in the whole world. He magnified his word above all of his name. But what makes it so fantastic is that he's given us the abilities to carry it out. And because of what his word really is. It's a mind blower. Turn to 2 Corinthians again, please. Chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of who? Our sufficiency. Where we are sufficient, that is of God. Our sufficiency is of God. Verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Hath made us is what? Past, present, or future tense? Past. If he hath made us able ministers, then are we able? Do you know what makes somebody able? Enablements. Enablements is what makes people able. And it says in verse 6, who also hath made us able ministers. Ministers. Means servants, service. See, our service, able, being able to serve mankind, people, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Then we are able ministers, and we're able because of the abilities that He's given us. Not only everything that He's given us in Christ Jesus, but the power of the Holy Spirit, meaning the nine manifestations of the Spirit. These are our abilities. Now, I may have a different ability, not concerning manifestations, but I may be different in my life to where I could do something different and more able than you. For instance, I may be able to shovel sidewalks better than you or more able than you, right? But you may be able to tear up or put up Christmas trees better than I. Right? Or I may be able to teach with a greater ability than you, but you, in turn, may be able to handle a situation much more able than I would. Understand? But we all still have the same abilities that we have in Christ Jesus. And we all have the ministry of His Word. In His Word, He tells us exactly how to use these abilities and how to walk right on with the Word with these abilities. That's why it's amazing. Because it's the greatest thing in the whole world. It's God's Word. It has everything anybody ever needs. The Word of God is the will of God. It's the biggest. See, you can't get bigger. If I could think of the place... There's a place in the Word that says God is the highest. Does anybody know where that is? Well, I think it's in Acts. But anyway, He is the highest. Therefore, there's nobody higher, right? And He has given us His Word and the ability to carry it out. Now, that's fantastic. Also, I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who do what? Believe. According to the working of His mighty power. He created the heavens and the earth, right? So His power must be kind of mighty. And it says, the exceeding greatness of His power is to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, verse 20, which He wrought in Christ. When did He do this? When He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who filleth all in all. Verse 21, look at it. Far above all principality, He raised Him far above all principality and power. Therefore, if we are with Him and using this power and the name of Jesus Christ and the accuracy of His Word, then everything is under our feet too, right? That's right. When we stand on the Word, then everything is under our feet. That's why I say that we have the abilities to carry it out. Now, turn to the Gospel of John, please. Chapter 17, verse 17. And I also told you that it's amazing because of the simplicity set before us in this day and time to do the greatest thing in the whole world. Verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What is truth? Thy word. Set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now turn to John chapter 8. John, the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 32. The Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. What is John 17? 17 says, thy word is truth, right? Now then, it says here that when you know the truth will make you what? Free. Therefore, if I know the word, then what will this word make me? Free. That's it. That's what I mean. Therefore, what if I teach you then, if I teach you the word and I rightly divide it and I accurately share it with you and you believe that, then what will it do for you? Make you free. What if I teach you the word, if I share the word with you and you do not believe it, will it make you free? What if I wrongly divide the word and I share it with you and you believe it, will it make you free? See it? It says that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, if I rightly divide the word, and I share the word with you, and you believe it, then what will it do? Make you free. This is the greatest thing in the whole world, God's word. In the class on Power for Abundant Living, every principle of truth any man needs to rightly divide this word is in there. Every principle, not only to rightly divide his word, but also to walk the more abundant life and to walk more than conquerors. Every principle is in there. That's why I want to talk tonight about the witnesses that we are. It covers a lot of things. But first of all, I'd like to just start with this thing in mind. First of all, that it's the truth, the word, that makes you free, right?
Right.
Basically, the only reason that we witness is to get people and to bring them into the class on Power for Abundant Living. Because in that class is where you get taught the most amount of word in the shortest amount of time. I'd like you to turn to Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens, did I tell you chapter and everything? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, now you have to get a picture of this as it goes along. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither. When the rain comes down, it just gets on the ground, right? It doesn't go, shoo! Would that be quite a rainstorm? Have to walk on our umbrellas. So you guys go, shoo, shoo. You know, bush, bush. Okay. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but what? Watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud. So it comes down, and it doesn't go back up, but it comes down, and it waters the earth, right? Waters the earth where it landed. And it maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Isn't that wonderful? That it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Okay. If you wanted to eat and there wasn't any rain coming down then, could you eat? Because it gives the bread to the eater. And if I applied this like I'm thinking, it's real neat, because there is a lot of spiritual hunger in the world today. A lot of it. Oh, it's amazing. The only thing that will satisfy spiritual hunger is the word. The accuracy of it. That's the only thing that will satisfy hunger. And truly satisfy. A lot of the things people do, they do thinking that when they do this, or when I do this, this will satisfy me. Only they ought to think a little bit further. Because they do it time and time again, yet they never get satisfied. See, like, I'll do this thing, or I'll fix this whole thing up, because this will satisfy me. You follow me? And a lot of the things people do today, a lot of the things they do because they think that it will satisfy them. The only thing, people, that will satisfy hunger is the word and the accuracy of it. The only way people can be fed is if we give it to them. Got it? Okay, that's the picture. The rain comes down and waters the ground, and that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. What do you do with the seed? First, a plant comes up, right? And it has a whole bunch of little seeds on it. Now then, with these seeds, what do you do with these seeds? Plant more, right? And when this seed comes up, you got that many more seeds, right? Now, you take these seeds. See how it is? That's, now, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall what? Not. You know, I heard that first part of that verse a lot, but I never read it, so I didn't really realize the full impact of what it's saying. Look at it again. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me what? But it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. In other words, when I hold forth the word, my responsibility is just to say it, right? Just to hold it forth. And just as the rain comes down and waters and gives, you know, does the bud trip in the seeds, so shall his word be as it goes forth out of his mouth. As I hold it forth, it'll prosper in thing in whereunto he sent it. Understand? And it will accomplish that which he pleases. My job then is to just hold it forth, right? Verse 12, and we find that it's a real bummer to do this. Really. It's a real terrible thing. I gotta hold forth the word. Verse 12, for ye shall go out with what? Joy. And be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing.
Wah, wah.
The field, the trees of the field will clap their hands. Here they come.
Oh, glory, glory, glory.
I'm a mountain. See, can you just see all the mountains? That's when we go out and hold forth his word. Verse 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now I'd like you to turn to Mark, please, chapter 16, verse 14. I want to share with you something here because I told you that it's amazing because of the simplicity that he's given us, right? It's amazing because of the simplicity that he set before us in this time, day and time, to do the greatest thing in the whole world. Verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creeper. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned or judged, is the text. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall recover. Okay, now, there's a real order set here. And this order will always remain the same until the gathering, as far as I understand. Because look at verse 16. The first thing is what? After he says, and he said unto them. What's the first word? Go. That's right. Go ye. Who does the going in this verse? Ye do the going. It says, go ye. Into how about what? Into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. First of all, the first key is that you go, go ye do the going into all the world. Understand? Into all the different areas, into all the different communities. And when you go into those different areas and communities, what are you supposed to do? Preach the gospel to every creature. So, when I go, first of all, the first thing I'm supposed to do is to do what? Go. And I go to all the world. And when I get there, what's my first responsibility? That's what it says. That's right. Preach the gospel to every creature. To who? Every creature. That's why I say you can witness to anybody, any place, at any time. And that's a real good thing to say. Because many people, when they're witnessing, sit around and they're always saying, I wonder if I should witness to him. See, are his cheeks red today? Or they'll say, or they'll think, well, I got to witness to the right people today, so I got to go to the right place at the right time. Well, maybe that will be true. But I know that I can witness to anybody, any place, at any time. It doesn't give me any qualifications. It just says preach the gospel to who? Every creature. So that means I can witness to anybody, right? That's right. At any place and at any time. Now, verse 16 gets better. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. Who does the believing in this verse? Me as the preacher? No. Who? The person in this verse, he is the one that believes. He that believeth and is baptized gets what? Saved. But he that believeth not shall be what? Judged. Verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that do what? Signs always follow believers. Always. Signs always follow believers. You'll never see signs before you see believing. You'll never see believing before somebody teaches you the word. Understand? You'll never see the word being taught until somebody goes and teaches it. That's what it's saying. Isn't that heavy? So you'll never see signs, never, until you see believing, until there is believing. You'll never have believing until somebody holds forth the word. You'll never have somebody holding forth the word unless they go and hold it forth. Isn't that wonderful, people? Makes it real difficult to understand, doesn't it? Not at all. First, it just says, go forth. Second, it says, hold forth the word to times, all the times in the world. No. If you're a boy, only hold forth to the chicks. If you're a chicks, only hold forth to the boys. No. Only hold forth to this certain group of people because this group of people is so wonderful and this is who we should. No. Hold it forth to who? Every creature. Doesn't give us any specifics. Just says, say it. Tell everybody. That's what he's saying. And then, as we go forth and as we say it, then they have the choice whether to what? Believe and what? Not to believe. They can either believe it or they cannot believe it. If they believe it, they get what? If they don't, they get judged. Now then, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out what? Devils. They shall speak with new tongues. That's how I know that they're talking about now. Because those signs, when those people believe, are one, they're going to cast out devils, right? Two, after they believe, they shall what? If you teach them about that, you follow it? Anyway, that's how I know it's talking about this time. Okay, verse 18. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I made the statement earlier. I said the basic reason that we witness to people is to get them in the class on Power for Abundant Living. Right? If I had anything to share a thought with you for the new year, that would be it. Because the word tells me to go out and hold forth the word, right? That's right. And that's exactly what I do. See, I go out and I hold forth the word to the best of my ability. But the greatest amount of knowledge of the Word of God today is still in Power for Abundant Living. I could maybe teach a guy for a million years or something. See, and couldn't get him to the place that that class can get him in 3 weeks. You understand? And then I used to go around, well, just recently I've been traveling around a lot and talking to the twig leaders. And what I'd say to them would be, why do we witness to them and bring them into the twig? I'd say, we witness to them, but where do we bring them? Into the what? The twig. Why? Why did we say to bring them into the twig? So that when they get to the class, they flow through, right? Now, why do we have a twig afterwards? Why? So that they can walk on the principles taught where? People, you'll always, all of your Christian life, you'll always walk on the foundational principles. Therefore, what we want to see when we go out and we hold forth this word, what we want to see is people begin to walk in the greatness of it because it's so wonderful, it's so rich. He is revealed in His Word. His Word is His will. If you want to know, if you want to walk by the power of God, then it's His Word that you have to go to. Understand? We are those vessels that carry His Word to people and help them walk in it. And what I'm trying to say is that maybe I'm in the Word for 2 years, right? And this Word, once I get into it, has set me free. Right? That's right. When I believe the truth, what happens? I get set free. Now then, therefore I have 2 years where I've been able to get a knowledge of God's Word, and I've been able to apply it. Therefore, from getting a knowledge and from applying it, I've gained some understanding. Right? It's given me ability to walk with a victory in my life. It's given me a deliverance and a power to live more than abundantly. What would I be like if I did not have that Word? What would I be like?
Donnie.
Come here, Donnie. That's right. But with this Word, then I have the power of God in my life, right? Did you ever imagine what would it be like if somebody did not give me this Word? What would it be like? What would your life be like? Well, I can tell you what my life would be like. All of us the same way. Because until we get this Word, nothing. But now let's say 10 years from now. 10 years from now, where will my life be if I am not walking the Word? Where will I be? See, much bigger though. That's right. But if I still am walking the greatness of God's Word, I'm still walking on the foundational principles, I'm still holding forth the Word, moving the ministry, then how much greater will my understanding be? Oh, much greater. See, then with the greater understanding of the Word, then I can help people much, much better. Right? That's right. Therefore, if I understand the Word to the extent that I understand it now, then I can be those hands that hold, that I can be those hands that are God's hands that hold the people, His children, to His bosom. I can be those hands that hold forth that bread of life that feeds people. But until I first have an understanding of the Word and stay put on that Word and walk on it day after day, can I ever help anybody? No. Follow me? This Word is the only thing that can ever do anything for anybody that in turn gets them to God. The only way you can get to God is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that you can have the Lord Jesus Christ is if you know God's Word, you know the accuracy of it, and you walk in it day after day after day. The only way anybody can ever get to that Word is if we take it to them. Now we're real blessed. In this day and time, real blessed. Because we can take people to a place, a class, that can teach them the foundation of the Word. And can teach them the Word in such a way that any fool can understand it and walk in it. Anybody can learn the greatness of God's Word and walk in the power of it. That's why we're so doubly, super, duper, triply, tipply blessed and honored. God has called us out uniquely in this day and time and given us a word in this day and time and a way to help people like there hasn't been able to be done since the first century. That means that all these people in this day and time, we can bring them the word. We can bring them deliverance by the word. And all of this time, man has not had that opportunity to any real depth and spiritual understanding like is available today. Dr. Rarewell said one time when he was young, he had a hunger for some of these things that we have. But he said that there wasn't any real spiritual depth that he could tap into. And you know, I never thought about that like that, but I could just imagine. There just wasn't any. Do you understand? There wasn't any real spiritual depth that you could tap into like anybody in the world can get right now today. All they have to do is take a class called Power for Abundant Living and then stand on it. Then they have tapped into the greatest thing in the whole world. The word that God has magnified above all of his name. So that blessed my heart was something to realize that he did not have that. He could not tap in like anybody can today. But bless God, anybody can today. Anybody can have the knowledge of God's word. And we are the people, as believers who have been taught the word, we are the people who take it to the people. Understand? So that they in turn can tap in to this tremendous spiritual depth that is available. That's why if I have a message to give for the new year to the people, it's that we have class after class after class after class after class. A million classes. The more classes, the greater. What we do in witnessing, like I've said twice and say the third time tonight, I never told anybody this, but for almost every time when I witness, the class almost every time comes up. Almost every time. Because I know that that's where you can get the greatest knowledge of the word. And so when I'm witnessing to somebody, that almost always comes up. I might tell them the truth of the word, that God loves them. See, God loves you. See, and I can meet his needs with the word. But if he really wants to ever really tap in, then he's got to be in the class. So I am a witness, and I've got the greatness of the power of God, of his Holy Spirit, and the greatness of the power of God in the renewed mind. And I can walk forth with the greatest effervescence and glory that is just unbelievable. And at the same time, I can bring the people, I can turn them on, I can bring them to the place where they too can tap into the greatest knowledge of God's word that hasn't been known since the first century. Whoops. To me, people, that is the greatest honor and privilege any man could have in life. There might be a greater privilege that, for instance, the greatest privilege any man could have in life would be to have a knowledge of this word and to be able to bring somebody to it. There's not a greater privilege. There would only be one greater privilege. And that is to be the man that has that knowledge. To be able to share. That's his birthday today. So people, we have the greatest privilege and honor in life. And no matter what time in history it is, it may be 1972, and I praise the Lord it is, because I'd sure hate to walk from the Jess house to here every morning. But no matter what time in history it is, still the greatest honor and privilege is to have a knowledge of his word and to be able to help people with it. Because only by that word can God protect and love and cherish his children, and by the power of his Holy Spirit. Only by this word can God be so wonderful and bless the hearts of his people. Only the word. So for you and I to have this honor in this day and time, to be in such a ministry, is truly fantastic, amazing, and very loving, wouldn't you say? It's the greatest thing in the whole world. And we have a vision, and that is that we get this word so that every man have a chance to say yes or no to it. And we have a knowledge of God's word, and it's really something. Well, I sure thank God for the honor of being able to be here with you tonight and to be able to teach you what I could share. And Father, I surely thank you for your word, and I thank you for this ministry and the greatness of it. I thank you, Father, that you've given us the greatest honor, the greatest privilege any human beings could have in life. And that, Father, you are God, and you are the one who has saved us and has called us out and has blessed our lives so exceeding much. So, Father, we're real thankful and honored to be able to give our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and every ounce of our being to move your word and to help people. And to just stand on this word, Father, no matter what. No matter how we feel or no matter what happens around us. But that, Father, we just stand on your word and the greatness of it, so that people can be blessed. And in the days of the rewards, Father, all the records are being kept. And we'll just stand before you on that bema with the greatest honor of all eternity. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Bless you, Donnie.
Thank you.
Here, come here. Hold on. Get your belt. Good. Hey. Thank you. What year did you take the class here? What summer was that? 69?
February 69.
February of 69. This is December 72. February 73, 69, 70, 71. That'll be 3 years in February, won't it?
Be 4 years in
four,
February.
Huh? Four? Okay, goodbye. Here's your Bible. Wonderful. Now, it's going to be 4 years, he says, in February. But he's been doing this kind of teaching for over 2.5 years now. How long do you want to wait till you really get turned on with the word and teach? Donnie's just a human being. And if Donnie can so get the word of God in him, certainly anybody else can, right? But see, he got convinced. And then he just spends time. That boy doesn't even know what a newspaper looks like. He hasn't seen one. I guess he doesn't read a newspaper, he doesn't read a commentary, he doesn't read anything except the word. That's what he reads. And it's that word that he's read, and that's what's turned him on. I believe it's a tremendous privilege to have men like this, and as he opened it tonight, you see, if you can follow quickly and along the line where it said God magnified his word above his name, then he immediately went to Genesis. Well, God created the heavens and the earth. That's pretty good, as he said. Well, he magnified his word above that creation. And how magnified our nation is thinking we could put a man on the moon. And it's great. But the Bible says that his word is bigger than that. It's much bigger than that. And you have never had at any time in the history of civilization until now that I know of any group or body of people who have really or are really beginning to put their head into the word and let that word speak. Because ever since before the death of the Apostle Paul, they were all tied up in denominations. One group said, I'm a Paul. Another one said, I'm Apollos. Somebody else said, today we say we're Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian. We got the same blessed trip going, only worse. And it's only a come-out-of-the-way ministry. It takes most adults 15 years, and some never make it, to really come up out of that enslavement to take a look at the integrity and accuracy of God's Word. And as long as you're held in with anything to stop you from God's Word, you'll never do research on that Word which He magnified above all His name. Because you get held in. That's why the Way International Headquarters is a tremendous place. Because as long as I live, by God's mercy and grace, we're going to have the freedom to work the integrity and accuracy of God's Word here. If it contradicts what I believe, then all I have to do is change my mind. That's right. And I've done that so often. Check on Hyder Pikers. That's right. No problem to change. The problem is in the head. And we put on the mind of Christ, then we change. Now we have to be careful in our research that somebody doesn't get isolated in a little segment of the Word and say, well, now, boy, that thing is so meaningful that it contradicts everything else. The whole Word has to fit. And in order to bring this kind of research into fruition, we've got to have men and women with a great knowledge of that Word. And research does not begin a week after the foundational class. That's for sure. I sometimes wonder when it does begin. And another great truth is faithfulness, steadfastness. This is my 31st year in research. Today it's a glory road compared to what it was 20 years ago. You know, from a people's response. Well, it was just as true 31 years ago as it is tonight. It's still God's Word. Still God's Word. And you got to stay put on it. You just can't get turned on for the Lord one day and unturned the next. You get a conviction in your heart of the integrity and accuracy of God's Word, and then come hell or high water, the rest of the days of your life, you stand on it. That's the only way you'll ever live. Even if it never comes to pass, you stand on anyways. That's the only way it ever is going to come to pass. And that's commitment, that's steadfastness, that's faithfulness. And it said that regarding a steward, the primary responsibility is faithfulness. Steadfastness. We don't blow around with every wind of doctrine, slight and cunning craftiness whereby men lie in wait to deceive us. And those men who lie in wait to deceive you will always be those who have had a little taste of the way ministry. They're the ones that basically are going to hit you. Well, because they can always say to you, well, I took the class. It's one thing taking the class, it's another thing the class taking you. And when that class really takes you, then you don't have those kind of stupid ideas anymore. Then the Word is all in all. Well, it's real terrific.